L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
In late September 2020, 35-year-old Tiffany Booth was living in Las Vegas with her boyfriend, Eduardo Clementi. She was close with her family, so close that they spoke every single day. But then without warning, Tiffany stopped responding. Her phone went silent, her social media activity vanished, and surveillance footage from her condo was mysteriously deleted. Days later, her car was found abandoned in the desert, hundreds of miles away, with the license plates removed and no sign of Tiffany. Soon after, her body was discovered, wrapped in plastic, and left in a remote ravine. What began as a missing persons case quickly turned into a homicide investigation that uncovered fake identities, survival gear, and a suspect who knew how to disappear. And at the heart of it all was Tiffany, a kind, trusting woman whose life was stolen by someone she thought she could trust. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Crime Weekly. I'm Stephanie Harlow.
And I'm Derek Levasseur.
Derek has a little cold today.
A little bit.
We're going to bear through that. He's been doing great.
One of the benefits of you being the storyteller, I can just sit here and look pretty.
Yeah. Make sure you weigh in sometimes, but understand his voice may get a little gravelly from time to time.
It's gnawing on me, so I do apologize because it's bothering me. So, and by the way, there's a couple of versions where I've probably said it three or four times and just had to redo it because my voice is cracking. I feel like I'm back in high school.
Yeah, he's going through puberty again.
One thing before we jump into the episode, because a few people have mentioned it and I'm wearing it again today, so I know it's going to come up. The Stay Safe Out There hats, they're back in stock. We also have t-shirts, sweatshirts, sticker packs, all available on crimeweeklypodcast.com. I know we talk a lot about Criminal Coffee. A lot of you guys love that merch. We don't want to neglect this because a few people have said, hey, I see you wearing the hat. Where can I get it? And then that's when you realize like, wow, I don't mention it ever. So crimeweeklypodcast.com. You can see information about our episodes. There's some other cool stuff on there as well. We're constantly updating it, but the merch is available there. Everything is in stock as we speak. So if you want something, that's where you got to go get it.
Absolutely. All right. So let's jump into this. So you know, Tiffany's family are very much still fighting for her. They're fighting for justice and they're fighting for exposure for Tiffany and her case, which is why we are talking about it today. So let's start from the beginning. Tiffany Lynn Booth was born on June 11th, 1985 in Longview, Washington to her parents, Steve and Judy. When Tiffany was still young, her family moved to Arlington, Oregon, where she grew up alongside her younger sister, Stephanie. Tiffany graduated from high school there, and as an adult, she moved to San Antonio, Texas, And even though she wasn't living in the same area as her family anymore, she still obviously remained incredibly close to them. They were a close family to begin with, and that didn't change with distance. They spoke every single day by text, phone call, or Facebook, and no matter how far apart they were, Tiffany made sure they stayed connected. And Tiffany was the kind of person who brought people together. She loved organizing family reunions and planning game nights that stretched on for hours. And her family, who we did work with for this episode, described her as the glue that held them all close together. Her mom, Judy, described Tiffany as a happy-go-lucky person, willing to help anybody. She had a big heart and was a natural caretaker. She saw the good in everyone and believed everyone was her friend. And that trust made her vulnerable, but it was never a fault of her own. And honestly, we should all be able to be open and trusting and want to be friends with everybody. But unfortunately, human nature and humans in general can make that difficult. Tiffany was also small in stature, but her personality was anything but. She had a very strong personality, and her family called her a firecracker, someone who stood up for herself and the people she loved. She was supportive and loving and trusting. Until that trust was betrayed, and even though betrayal happened more than once, she still never stopped hoping for lasting love and a family of her own.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the notes here, and it looks like Tiffany's family in the past has been upset by the fact that some people would describe Tiffany as a little girl. Is that a, I've heard about this case a little bit, but not a ton, but they want people to remember she was a 35-year-old woman, and she was someone who believed the best in everyone. She trusted them. And certain people would take advantage of that, but she wasn't a child.
No, and I think, you know, it's not a bad thing, by the way, to have the openness and, you know, ability to love like a child. We should all be able to do that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That inner child in us should be free to explore and make connections and,
should you know, want to see the best in people.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
That's not us.
It was me at one point.
At one point in your life.
I understand this completely. It was me. And I miss that part of myself because I think that was a very genuine part of myself. But now it's kind of like hashtag no new friends. I don't feel like I can trust everybody because life has taught me that the people you can trust are few and far between. So I think Tiffany was probably on that journey as well. And you do get jaded, but to say that she was had the mind of a child, no, she had the soul of a child, right?
Yeah, I think that is a better way of saying it. But just as people go forward and hear about this case, just make sure we're referring to her in the right way. The family would greatly appreciate that.
And Tiffany did also struggle with depression and anxiety. And even though she carried a lot of emotional weight from the past, especially from abuse and betrayal she had experienced in relationships, she still believed that happiness was possible. She held on to the dream that someday she would get married and have children of her own. She had even planned out a Star Wars-themed wedding and created a Pinterest board full of Disney nursery ideas. Tiffany had her hard days, but she never gave up. She wanted to fight through it all. She just wanted to feel better, and she was trying so hard to get there. And listen, Tiffany's of the same kind of generation as me. I was born in 84. She's born in 85. Disney movies screwed us, man. I'm going to be honest with you. They really...
Wow, you're old.
Yeah, you're old. You're born you're like older than me.
5 days older than you.
Yeah, exactly. So
it was a joke.
All right, well, it's a joke because we are old. Anyways, I feel like growing up watching Disney movies, you kind of had it in your idea that like, oh, there's this perfect person out there who's going to sweep you off your feet. And as long as he said and did all the right things, you could trust him, you know, and you just should be able to trust your true love. And you would know the true love when it came into your life because it would feel right. And, you know, little birds would fly around and bells would ring in the distance. And, you know, Disney movies, man, really
Princess Jasmine,
set us up.
Man.
Yeah. Princess Jasmine. I had a crush on Aladdin.
I mean, right? How could you not?
I know.
Absolute stud. Now, you know who my crush was?
Huh.
See if you even know this person. Jessica Rabbit.
Of course, Jessica Rabbit. Who framed Roger Rabbit?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Jessica. Okay, so on that note.
Jessica Rabbit.
The great mouse detective. The guy who, like, the mouse who was Sherlock Holmes. I know he was a mouse.
Yep.
But there was something about him, man.
It just did it for you.
He took charge. He was smart. He knew everything, okay?
Oh,
he could read a room. But Prince Charming, no. I will take the mouse over Prince Charming at this point. In 2019, Tiffany was living in San Antonio, and then she decided to move to Las Vegas to live with her mom, Judy, in her condo and help care for her due to ongoing health issues, which is so nice, you know, to like uproot your life. It's like your mom and your parents took care of you when you were little, and now that they need it and you're an adult, you do it for them. Not everyone does that, so I give her a lot of respect. And honestly, like, love for that, because you could tell that she loved her family. That's a personal sacrifice to uproot your life and move to Vegas of all places, which I hate Vegas. Derek knows. Vegas is my least favorite city in the entire world.
And as you would expect, I love Vegas.
He loves it.
Polar opposite of Stephanie.
This city has no soul. It's just completely.
I was in my element.
Because you have no soul.
Basically.
There's billboards. Everything's a billboard. The people are billboards. The buildings are billboards. Everything is about selling something. I got hit with way too many feathered boas in the face just trying to walk the street. It's dry. I feel like the SpongeBob meme.
There's great events, great food, great music.
Bomb. The food is amazing.
Yeah,
never have I had a better meal than in Vegas. I never had a bad meal there.
Where can you go to have more shows like right there? Comedians, entertainers, artists.
I don't know.
The mate all in one strip.
I really don't like Vegas. I'm so sorry to anybody who lives there, but I don't like it. I felt zero creativity and zero will to live when I was there.
Well, I think most people, in your defense, would say, like, when I describe Vegas and when I say, oh, I love Vegas, I am someone, I've been there probably 10, 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been off the strip. So my idea of what Las Vegas is very different than people who live there. So I will say that.
Yeah, I didn't get off the strip, and we were there during draft weekend. So that
draft
was
weekend was
a
rough
nightmare.
It was rough. It was even the street itself, like, you couldn't go down Las Vegas Boulevard. You had to take like all alternate routes. That wasn't the best.
If you did go down Las Vegas Boulevard on foot, you were going to be accosted with a million feathered boas. That's all I'm saying.
And the cards, the stripper cards.
A man spit on me accidentally, but still. He spit into the air and then it flew on the wind and it sprayed me.
Oh, that's gross.
I had to go right back to the hotel. It was awful.
That's gross.
All right, so Vegas is not for me, but Tiffany moved there because her mom lived there. She wants to help take care of her. Tiffany had always been close with her mom, and when she learned that Judy needed extra support, she didn't hesitate to pack up her life and move across the country to be there. So after settling in, Tiffany started working in the IT department at a telecommunications company. She genuinely did enjoy it. I kind of have the feeling that Tiffany's somebody who's always going to find the silver lining in anything, by the way. She moves to Vegas. She gets a job. She enjoys the job because Tiffany's like, whatever I'm doing, I'm going to enjoy. I only have one life, and I'm going to be happy in whatever I'm doing. But not long after starting at the company, the COVID-19 pandemic hit, and in March, Judy contracted the virus. And while Tiffany didn't get it, it was a very stressful time, especially because Tiffany had severe asthma, which put her at high risk. After Judy recovered and they had a chance to talk things through, she and Tiffany decided it would be safer for Judy to move in with her boyfriend, Joe, while Tiffany stayed at Judy's condo with Judy's cat, Fluffy Kitty. Around the same time Judy moved out, one of Tiffany's coworkers, Eduardo Clemente, approached her and asked if he could crash on her couch. Ladies, if someone wants to crash on your couch, especially if that someone's a man, it's always a no, because they will not leave. They will not leave, okay?
Is that why you always turn me down?
Yes, you will not leave.
Every time I'm like, hey, I'm going to come up there, we'll record an episode, I'll crash on the couch, you're like, I'm busy.
I said my couch is closed. No vacancies.
Okay.
So Eduardo told Tiffany he'd been living with his sister, and the sister had tried to kill him, so he needed to move out as soon as possible, and he had nowhere else to go. Obviously, we've already talked about Tiffany. She's very open. She wants to help people. She believes in the good inside of people. And she'd always been the kind of person who would do anything for a friend. So without thinking twice, of course, she said Eduardo could stay. Better than being with his sister who's trying to kill him, right? So at first, Tiffany and Eduardo were just friends. And when she brought him around her loved ones, she introduced him that way. But over time, Judy, so that's Tiffany's mother, Judy, and her boyfriend, Joe, started to notice a shift. And it seemed like Tiffany and Eduardo were becoming more than friends. So eventually, sometime around September, Tiffany officially confirmed that they were dating, and Judy and Joe were not surprised at all. So we are going to talk more about what's going on with Tiffany and Eduardo, but first, let's take a quick break.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at WashableSofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit WashableSofas.com today and save. That's WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
So Tiffany's mom, Judy, and Judy's boyfriend, Joe, they were happy that Tiffany had found someone, but they were also cautious, right? Because Tiffany had been taken advantage of by men in the past, and they couldn't help but worry it might happen again, like any parent would be. And Eduardo seemed kind and incredibly smart, and on the surface, he came across as a normal guy, but he was quiet about his background and his past. He rarely talked about his family, which in hindsight did seem like a red flag. But in September of 2020, no one did have the benefit of hindsight. Plus, at the time, Tiffany seemed happier than ever. She told her cousin, Angelina, that Eduardo was her prince charming, and she'd never felt this way before. He made her feel loved. He took her out on dates. He seemed like the perfect fit. Looking back, the cousin, Angelina, believes Eduardo was love-bombing Tiffany. But of course, no one realized that at the time. I completely agree. He was love bombing her. He probably knew she liked Disney movies. She was into all that romance and finding the one. And so he became Prince Charming. Tiffany also shared about Eduardo in the family group chat. She talked about how in love she was and how she and Eduardo were thinking about getting married. They wanted a Star Wars themed wedding, which of course Tiffany was thrilled by. Her family was happy for her, even if they didn't really know who Eduardo was. To them, it seemed like a whirlwind romance that had taken off fast. But Tiffany was clearly excited, and it looked like she believed Eduardo was the love of her life. Around that same time, she had started taking better care of herself. She began posting new photos on Facebook, and after years without a car, she bought one. So for a moment, it seemed like things were turning around. Tiffany was doing great, better than ever. And her family thought, maybe this is a good thing for Tiffany. But that feeling wouldn't last. On September 27th, Tiffany and Eduardo had dinner with Judy. It was a normal evening, but it would turn out to be the last time Judy ever saw her daughter. By Thursday, October 1st, Judy realized she hadn't heard from Tiffany in days, which wasn't like her at all. They talked every day, sometimes multiple times a day, and it wasn't like Tiffany to just go silent. Judy recalled that Eduardo had put up security cameras at the condo. He said it was because a neighbor had been stealing electricity and he wanted to catch them. So Judy pulled up the camera that faced Tiffany's parking spot and saw that Tiffany's car was gone. So this is all red flags, right? Eduardo says his sister wants to kill him, and so he has to move into Tiffany's, or, you know, Judy's apartment, but Tiffany lives there. And then Eduardo, even though he's a guest crashing on the couch, turned boyfriend, still not his condo, right? He's putting up security cameras because a neighbor's trying to steal electricity. I have a feeling he put up security cameras to keep tabs on Tiffany. So now the security cameras are coming in handy for Tiffany's family, though, because Judy can pull them up and see, hey, Tiffany's car isn't there. So Judy sent Tiffany a text asking where she was, and a message came back saying that she and Eduardo had gone to Boulder City. This is about 25 miles southeast of Las Vegas. Now, the message said that she needed to get out of the condo because her asthma had flared up and she wanted to escape the smell of the neighbor's marijuana that was coming through the vents. The message also said that she and Eduardo were supposed to return at some point on the 2nd, but they had taken the day off and wouldn't be back to work until Monday the 5th. After this last exchange, Judy kept reaching out to Tiffany, but she never heard back, which, once again, completely out of character. Tiffany was the kind of person who always replied right away. She was social and responsive. She never ignored her mom's calls or texts. She would want her mom to know what she was doing. She'd be sending updates. She'd let her know what they were up to. So obviously, things immediately felt wrong. On top of that, Tiffany was always usually active on social media, constantly liking and commenting on posts. And, you know, she's on a trip with her boyfriend. You think she'd be posting pictures, things like that. But now there was nothing. Judy continued checking the surveillance footage from the condo, but Tiffany's car never reappeared. She kept calling, not just Tiffany, but also Eduardo. Calls went straight to voicemail. She sent messages on Facebook, but just like the calls, they went unanswered. Judy asked around, hoping someone had seen or heard from them, but no one had. It was just silence.
Yeah, silence is one way to describe it. It's not good. Clearly, and that's why we're here today. I know earlier I said that Tiffany's parents wanted to make sure that as people talked about Tiffany, they didn't refer to her as a child. She was an adult, mature woman. But I do think we have to acknowledge the fact that clearly Tiffany was very close with her parents. Nothing wrong with that. So for someone like me not to talk to my, well, I shouldn't even say that because I talk to my mom every day, but some people don't talk to their parents every day when they get older. It's just the way the relationship has developed, even though it still may be a good relationship. But for Tiffany and Judy, it's a problem because Tiffany is someone who's out in Vegas. She doesn't have a ton of friends living out here. She's really got Eduardo and she's got Judy. So for her not to reach out to her, for her not to be active on social media when she's, like you just said, really great point, on a vacation, which more than likely she would want to show that off, that's a problem. And I know you didn't mention it here, but I also wonder if Judy had tried to call Tiffany at any point, because you said there was a text message, and during that text message, it was kind of weird. It was random. She had to get out of the condo because of the smell of marijuana, you said. She just couldn't handle it. Was going to be back on the 2nd and then had to change it to the 5th. But the problem with this is it's coming through a text message. So when we think about the reason we're here today, I'm really trying to pinpoint the last time we know that Tiffany was alive and well, right? And we know that she went out to dinner with her mom and Eduardo on September 27th. But when was the last time that she physically spoke to someone where they could say, I heard Tiffany's voice? Because as we know, anybody could be sending those text messages.
Exactly. We know that, right, from the Brian Laundrie, Gabby Petito case.
Of course.
How long did Brian Laundrie text Gabby's mom and you know, people who were texting to pretend like she was still alive? I mean, he texted his own phone from her phone pretending she was still alive. So, yeah, text from somebody don't mean anything if you can't physically have eyes on them or hear their voice.
Of course. And the one final note that I'll make is the only other person that would have noticed a change in Tiffany's behavior because they were involved with her so much, even more so than Judy, would be Eduardo. And up to this point, at least you haven't mentioned it yet, Eduardo is with her, according to Tiffany's text messages, and Eduardo hasn't reached out to Judy to say, hey, I haven't seen Tiffany. So on the surface, you would at least think, okay, maybe she's all right. She's with Eduardo, she's fine. But Eduardo's not reaching out saying, hey, she's not with me. I don't know why she's saying that. So either Eduardo's with her or Eduardo's involved in something that's not going to make this story turn out to be good.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, at this point, we also have all of these things, you know, happening that make it so they can't be at the apartment. The neighbor stealing electricity, the neighbor smoking weed. It's all of these like weird things. Like, has Tiffany talked about the neighbor to her mom before? Has Tiffany had issues about the neighbor with her mom before? Or does this kind of seem like it just came out of nowhere?
No, by the way, something's not lining up with that. I didn't want to go too far off on a side quest, but think about what you said in those statements. Eduardo wanted cameras up because he was concerned about someone stealing electricity. So essentially that camera should be on the area where the electricity is being stolen from. And I don't want to quote unquote mansplain here, but when you live in a condominium complex or an apartment building, usually what people are doing is they're going to run an extension cord up to your, you know, your unit or something. And
yeah, you think you'd see that somewhere.
So you would expect to see the camera facing wherever the cord was hanging from where they were stealing the electricity, not on Tiffany's car, which to me is concerning to a certain degree.
Yeah, he's keeping dibs on Tiffany.
He's keeping tabs on her.
Yeah, exactly. That's obvious what's happening.
Or let me just go another way with it. If he's doing something he shouldn't be doing and he's not keeping tabs on her in that way, he also could be wanting to monitor when she's coming back. Oh, she just pulled in. Stop what you're doing.
Yep.
So those are the couple things that stood out in my mind initially, because you're looking for someone stealing electricity, but you have a camera on her car. Now, that wouldn't be out of the ordinary if the argument was, yeah, there's been some break-ins, or we wanted to keep an eye on the car.
Or somebody's been threatening her. Correct.
Then
you'd want to make
sure
she's getting in her car safely, and if something happens and she's not, you know who's doing it. I also think it's incredibly alarming to anyone when you have your daughter and her boyfriend and they're on a trip, right? They're not home. And you're calling them, both of them, and it's going to voicemail, which means the phones are off.
Yeah.
Why are the phones off? Or they died. Now, as a parent, I'm freaking out because I'm like, did something happen? Did they get in a car crash? Are they dead out there somewhere? Their phones have died. We can't get a hold of them. Because any responsible adult, especially if they're not home and they're driving out.
Phones are going to be charged.
The phones are going to be charged and on, right?
And they may be out of service for a couple minutes.
But not consistently for
not
days.
Not consistently, though, yeah. No. And this is 2020, right? We're not talking 1920. So service towers are out there. There's Wi-Fi. There's all these things.
Definitely more service towers in 2020 than 1920 for sure.
I would hope so. So at that point, the phone should be able to get in range of a cell tower within a few minutes. So the fact that they're both off, like you said, not a good sign.
No. So Tiffany's cousin Angelina told us that at first, they didn't really know what to make of the situation. On one hand, it was unlike Tiffany to cut contact with everyone. But on the other hand, she was an adult in a new relationship. Maybe she just wanted a few days away. Maybe she and Eduardo had taken like a romantic trip. They, you know, turned their phones off. They just wanted to be together without distraction. Maybe they'd even eloped. After all, Tiffany had mentioned them wanting to get married. So in those early days, the family, they weren't really sure what to think. Yes, it was uncharacteristic, but they didn't want to assume the worst. That hopeful feeling, though, would soon go away completely. No one in Tiffany's family ever received another direct response from her phone. They kept reaching out to people, hoping someone had heard from her, and eventually they connected with a group of Tiffany's friends from San Antonio. These friends told the family that they had heard from Tiffany, or at least from someone using her phone, and this had been on October 3rd. That evening, they noticed something strange. Tiffany's phone location suddenly showed she was in Idaho, and this caught them off guard because Tiffany usually told them when she was going on a trip, and she hadn't mentioned anything about Idaho, so the friends sent her a message asking her why she was there. So this is a group of friends that Tiffany had. They were close. They probably had like a Life 360 app or something.
Could be even Find My iPhone.
Or Snap Mats or something,
yeah,
where
something.
It shows you where your locations are and things like that. And her friends are like, that's weird. Like, why are you in Idaho? They reach out to her. They ask. Just before 8 p.m., they got a reply. And it said, quote, I had to get away from Vegas. My dad's coming into town and he was really stressing me out. End quote. Now, Tiffany's friends, like I said, they're close, and they did know she had a complicated relationship with her father. She had confided in them about how stressful that relationship was. It would have been like her to avoid her dad if she needed space. So no one actually found this response far-fetched.
Real quick, what's your takeaway from that comment, this text message? What would you derive from that comment?
From the text message that Tiffany sent her friends?
My dad's coming into town, which is really stressing me out.
Well, I don't know the entire context of the relationship between Tiffany and her father yet. At least we don't. So
here's what we can take on the surface.
That wasn't the same story that she told her mom, basically.
So number one, you're right. Wasn't the same story she told her mother. So there's a little bit of a conflict there, although you could make the argument that maybe she didn't want to
be honest with her mother.
Stress out her mom.
Yeah.
But that's not the issue here for me. There's two bigger things that I want to address. First off, again, it's via text message, which is concerning because you don't know if it's being sent from Tiffany or someone else. Now, number three is if it's being sent from someone else, let's say something has already happened to Tiffany and this is a random stranger who has now captured Tiffany or taken her somewhere or done something to her, would they know about the relationship that she has with her father, or that he lives out of town and would be moving in, or that it's complex and she sometimes gets stressed out about it? If this was some random person who she had encountered when whatever happened to her happened.
Mm-hmm. If somebody's pretending to be her. And they wouldn't have that context about her past. Yes, exactly.
This is someone who knows Tiffany. If it's not Tiffany sending those messages.
Someone who's intimate enough with Tiffany to know
the complexities.
The complexities of her relationship with her parents, which you're not just telling every single person you meet. Yeah.
And that isn't a vague statement. Some people may be like, oh, it's a vague. No, it isn't. This person knows that dad does not live in town and that the relationship is complicated. That's not something you would automatically assume of a daughter.
Especially because Tiffany was so close with her family, and you could tell she was that kind of person, was close with her family. So you wouldn't just assume, you know, she's got some issues with her dad.
So I don't know much about this story or where it is right now. I know from the teaser where we are, but I don't know what people are going to eventually say as far as what happened to Tiffany. But what we do know is this: if some random person had taken her, abducted her, killed her, whatever the case may be, they would not have this information unless they basically interrogated her before doing so, which is highly unlikely. So something to take note of as we move forward.
And we don't know if Tiffany's dad was even coming to town.
We don't.
Yeah, we don't even know if that was a plan. I'm going to guess, honestly, that it wasn't. And it was just an excuse.
If he was, that would make this argument even stronger.
That's, because again, it was someone who
only
knew
a
Tiffany.
Few people would know that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So,
let's take our second break. We'll be right back.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At WashableSofas.com, you'll find the Anabe Sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit WashableSofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
All right, so Tiffany's friends hear from her on the 3rd. Tiffany says, my dad's coming to town. It's stressing me out. I had to get the hell out of there. Once again, not what she told her mom. She says she had to get out because the weed smell from the neighbor's apartment was bothering her asthma. But now she's telling her friends it's the dad coming to town. So on October 4th, the next morning, the group chat still showed Tiffany's phone in Idaho, but then the location shut off. Which is interesting, because I also wonder if the person who was using Tiffany's phone maybe didn't know that she had her location on for her friends. Maybe they were not aware of that part.
I think that's a fair assumption.
Because suddenly the location's off.
I can almost guarantee they didn't know that, and they were surprised by those messages saying, hey, why are you in Idaho?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So once the family heard about those messages and realized the phone had been turned off, they knew without a doubt that something was seriously wrong. So Judy checked the surveillance footage from the condo yet again. Tiffany's car still hadn't returned. Then Judy noticed something else, something that made her stomach drop. The footage from September 29th, September 30th, and October 1st was missing. It hadn't been erased automatically. Someone had gone in and manually deleted those entries. Now remember, Tiffany told her mother, we're taking off. We're going to be gone for a few days. We'll be back on, I think she said the 3rd, but we're taking the day off. We're not going into work until Monday the 5th. Because remember, Tiffany and Eduardo work together. Well, Monday the 5th rolls around and Tiffany and Eduardo didn't show up for work. And this was completely unlike Tiffany to miss a shift. She was dependable and responsible, and if something had come up, she would have let someone know. But still, no one could get in touch with her. No one had heard from Eduardo either. Judy sent Tiffany a text asking if her cat, Fluffy Kitty, had enough food and water to last, since it didn't seem like they had planned to be gone this long. I'm going to go ahead and say that somebody needs to check in on Fluffy Kitty immediately, by the way, because it's been days. And when Tiffany didn't respond, Judy's worry only grew. Tiffany loved that cat. There was no way she would have left her alone without making arrangements for someone to take care of her. So Judy and her boyfriend decided to go to the condo to check things out. They didn't go through every room, but it was immediately clear that Tiffany and Eduardo weren't there. Just as Judy had feared, there was no food or water out for Fluffy Kitty, and it was obvious no one had been there to take care of her. So what it seems like to me is this was not a planned trip. This was an impromptu leaving the condo because no one set up, you know, a store of food and water for the cat. And Tiffany would have done that if she was planning to leave. Furthermore, none of Tiffany's personal belongings appeared to be missing. So it didn't seem like she'd packed a bag or taken anything with her that would suggest she was planning a trip. And then they found something that made Judy's concern turn into panic. Tiffany's asthma medication was still there. Tiffany was severely asthmatic. She would never have left without her medication. Not to mention that that was the whole reason, allegedly, that Tiffany said she needed to get out of the condo in the first place, because her asthma was flaring up. And Judy couldn't understand how Tiffany could leave town without the one thing that she needed to breathe.
Yeah, and that's a problem. Obviously, as you said, this is an erratic behavior. It's unplanned. Someone got in and got out. And I can only imagine that whoever's responsible for this, whether it's Tiffany's the victim or Tiffany and Eduardo are victims, the offender or offenders got in. They did what they needed to do and they deleted the footage, because more than likely that footage would have shown what I suspect, the offender or offenders bringing Tiffany and Eduardo, or just Tiffany outside to Tiffany's car.
Right. And it would have shown that possibly either, because I suspect obviously by the time that the mom got the message, oh, hey, we just need, you know, to get away because of this weed smoke, I believe Tiffany's was
gone.
Already dead.
Yep.
That was not sent by her. And so maybe they don't want the surveillance footage to show that Tiffany's not either A, leaving of her own free will, or B, not alive when she's brought out of that condo.
Right. Right. We know the offender or offenders took Tiffany's car, more than likely. And we're going to probably see some things on that footage that's not going to be easy to watch. But if we had that footage, it would more than likely explain what happened, and we would not be sitting here right now.
Yeah, but they erased it. 3 days, this footage was erased. So in those 3 days, that's when this happened.
Well,
right?
that's what's interesting, because the fact that it was 3 days.
I know.
There's a couple things that can be taken from that. We know the last time that Tiffany was seen physically was by her mother, Judy, on the 27th. My guess is that something probably happened on the 28th, late at night or whatever, and then there was 2 or 3 days where the offender or offenders are planning out what to do next.
And cleaning up and, you know, trying. I mean, they could have behooved them to pack a bag and get her asthma medication when they had all
right.
that time to make it at least look like she'd taken a trip. But I suspect they were cleaning up their fingerprints, cleaning up the trail, whatever they had left behind. That was what was happening in those 3 days. And whoever it was didn't want anyone to see that they were there and that Tiffany was not coming in and out of that condo for days.
Correct. And I think what the medication being left behind tells us is exactly what you said. I don't think they took it because Tiffany was no longer alive. It wasn't needed. So she did not leave there under her own free will. And what else can we derive from the fact that the offender was able to delete 3 days worth of footage? So that means, I don't know if they can access it remotely and delete it, but there was 3 days of footage that they didn't want anyone to see, which would suggest that the offender was either at that residence or had gone back to that location multiple times, which tells you, more than likely, it's not some random attacker.
More than likely, they had a key, they had access. It wouldn't be weird to see them there.
There you go. It would not be out of the ordinary for anybody else to see this person or people going in and out of the complex multiple times. They felt comfortable being there for 3 days. I think the fact that it's not just 1 day of footage being deleted is extremely telling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. So Judy and her boyfriend took Fluffy Kitty with them, and then they reported Tiffany and Eduardo missing. After filing the report, Judy called the rest of the family to let them know what had happened. And at that point, they truly believed that both Tiffany and Eduardo were missing. There was no reason yet to believe otherwise. Now that the entire family knew Tiffany was missing, they kept an even more watchful eye on her social media, hoping for a sign that she was okay. And sometimes her Facebook page would say active 1 hour ago, and that gave them hope that maybe she was still out there somewhere. Maybe she just wasn't ready to talk yet. It still doesn't explain why she didn't bring her asthma medication with her. But if you're her parent and you're somebody that's trying to hold out hope, you're like, well, maybe she had extra. Maybe this one was an extra. You know, just anything but the worst is what
could be an explanation as active an hour ago in your mind.
Well, that means somebody's still on her social media.
Correct. Somebody's logged into her Facebook account. Maybe they don't even know it, but they may have her logged into their Facebook on their phone and not even know it. And again, I'm not trying to lead you down a path here.
Or maybe somebody's checking her social media to make sure and see like, okay, are people calling the police? Like, is her mom and dad or somebody messaging Tiffany and being like, hey, we're reporting you missing.
Right.
So that they know what's happening back in Vegas.
But there's a couple questions that can be taken from that. If we find her phone later in this story and it appears that her phone was with her when she was found the whole time, well, then that would suggest that someone was logged in under her Facebook, under their phone or computer, which again suggests someone who knew her. They would have to have access to her username and password. And more than likely, Tiffany logged in to her Facebook under their device at some point. So all this is leading to the person responsible for this being someone that Tiffany not only knew, but was close with.
Yeah. So on October 6th, which was one day later, officers went to the condo and they were able to gain access, but no one was there. And according to them, nothing looked suspicious. Detectives then spoke with the manager at Tiffany and Eduardo's job, and they found that Tiffany's phone texted her supervisor to take off work on October 1st. The following day, Eduardo called the company and left a voicemail saying that both he and Tiffany would be out on the 2nd. After hearing this, Tiffany's family was even more concerned. However, police didn't seem to think there was anything suspicious going on. But now I know that there is something suspicious going on because it's not Tiffany and Eduardo being taken. It's not Tiffany and Eduardo being, you know, murdered during that 3-day period when the footage is gone. Eduardo is able to call with his voice and leave a voicemail for his boss. So at least Eduardo on October 2nd is still alive, even though nobody's heard Tiffany's voice for days.
Well, he's at least alive on October 1st because he called on the 1st to say, I won't be in on the 2nd.
He called on the 2nd.
He called on the 2nd to say, I won't be in on the 2nd?
To say that they were not coming in that day, yeah.
Got it. Okay, so October 2nd, Eduardo is still alive. Still haven't heard from Tiffany.
We have signs of life from Eduardo on the 2nd.
Got it.
So on October 7th, one of Tiffany's close friends, Bree, arrived in Las Vegas. She had planned the visit weeks earlier to spend time with Tiffany, but Tiffany never followed up to finalize their plans, which raised yet another red flag, so Bree decided to come anyway. As soon as she got there, she jumped in to help the family look into Tiffany's disappearance, and with their permission, she accessed Tiffany's bank account and began reviewing her statements, hoping to find something, anything, that might point to where Tiffany had gone. That's when she discovered that Tiffany's debit card had been used on October 6th, 3 days after the last communication with Tiffany's phone, to buy gas and fast food in Idaho. This is the Brian Laundry playbook, basically. The transactions were small, just a few dollars each, and it looked like the food had only been ordered for one person, which was yet again another red flag. By this point, the family was growing more and more suspicious of Eduardo, so they started digging deeper. They tried to find out who he really was. That's when they discovered he had dozens of social media accounts where he used his own photo, but the name attached to the profiles was Daniel Trent. That discovery raised even more red flags, and the family started thinking back on everything they knew about Eduardo, every conversation, every interaction. What did they really know about him? They remembered how he never talked about his background or his family. And then there was a conversation from a group chat that included both Tiffany and Eduardo. In that chat, they had talked about Eduardo being a genius who wanted to live off the grid. He called himself a digital nomad and said that if he ever wanted to disappear, he could, and no one would ever find him. At that time, it seemed a little eccentric, maybe even harmless, but now it felt deeply unsettling. Does this not remind you of Brian Laundry? Like, completely? completely, the whole living off the grid.
A lot of similarities.
You know, using her phone to text people, make them think she's still alive, using the debit card to get gas as you're like running away from what you did. Yeah, this is bad. So Tiffany's family kept searching for answers, desperate for anything that might help them find her. At one point, her aunt Mindy went to the condo with Judy, and while they were looking around, still not going into every room, they noticed a large black box sitting on the kitchen table. When they opened it, they found everything you'd need to make fake IDs, and they kept digging. They learned that in addition to using the alias Daniel Trent, Eduardo had also used slight variations of his real name, sometimes spelling it as Eduardo, E-D-W-A-R-D-O, sometimes as Edward, creating new aliases with small changes that made him harder to track. They also discovered that he had a prior battery charge and had physically assaulted someone before. Then something unexpected happened. Tiffany's cousin Angelina received a message from a friend who lived in Ely, Nevada, about 250 miles north of Las Vegas. The message included a photo and a simple question: is this Eduardo? Angelina couldn't believe what she was seeing. She responded right away, yes, that's him. And her friend explained that the picture had come from someone she knew, a neighbor who had found Eduardo curled up and sleeping in their yard. He had a red wagon and two black backpacks filled with computer equipment. And when the neighbor asked what he was doing, Eduardo said that his mother had just died and that he was on a spiritual walk from Idaho to Henderson, Nevada, which is just outside Las Vegas. Now, Angelina's friend said the neighbor felt bad for Eduardo and gave him a tent so he wouldn't have to sleep on the ground. She even offered to have a friend drive him to Henderson the next day. The following morning, the neighbor made Eduardo breakfast and washed his dishes. While he was around them, he first introduced himself as Daniel, but later said his name was Eddie. And he cried on and off throughout the visit. And even though no one knew exactly what was going on, they could tell something wasn't right. Before he took off, the neighbor took a photo of him just in case. Then one of her friends drove him to Henderson and dropped him off outside a hospital where he said his cousin worked. But by the time Tiffany's family got the full story and the photo, it was already too late to act, because when police followed up, Eduardo was long gone and his cousin told them that he had never seen him.
Yeah, I know in these stories, my job is to stay impartial and objective throughout the whole story. But this is a one-part series that we're doing. There's not going to be multiple parts, and we're more than halfway through it. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say more than likely Eduardo's responsible for the death of Tiffany Booth.
I'd say so.
I know that's probably not a shocker to anybody, but Eddie's your guy. So that's all I'll say. I want to see how the story plays out.
Or what is it? Daniel Trent. He could be Daniel Trent.
Daniel Trent. Yeah, whatever his real name is, but... He's the guy. Everything lines up with him being the guy based on what we've laid out throughout this episode, some of the things we discussed as far as the text messages, now believing that they're from Eduardo. He would be someone who would have access to that information. He would know the complexities of Tiffany's relationships. He would be in on all that. And he would also feel comfortable staying at the condo for 3 days while he figured out what he was going to do.
But it also seems like Eduardo has the know-how and the skills and even the intelligence as far as it comes to technology to sort of drop off the map, to change his identity, to be much more difficult to find than your average criminal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to call him a genius because, yeah, sure, he's got some skill sets, but I would also say him using the victim's gas card or her debit card for gas doesn't scream brilliant to me.
Well, listen, having the skill set doesn't mean you have money in your bank account. Obviously, he didn't.
I get it, but do you have to know you're going to leave a digital footprint?
He's going to leave a digital footprint, but he can also change his identity. He knows how to make fake IDs. The neighbor who reached out to Angelina, Tiffany's cousin, said he had two backpacks full of electronic equipment.
What if there's a security camera at this gas station or something? I don't know. I just... doesn't scream I'm a genius to me, but maybe that's just because I don't like him.
I did not say genius. I said he has the know-how
to
be a little bit more like off the map than your average criminal, because he knows how to make fake IDs.
If I remember the teaser, you said that her car and she was found hundreds of miles away. You didn't say where. So I'm assuming you're going to end up telling us, and I don't want to get too far ahead, that she was probably found in Idaho. And he's trying to make his way back in what you're describing here. He's trying to get back to Las Vegas with leaving as small of a footprint as possible. He's not doing a great job.
No, he's Brian laundering it. So on October 8th, two off-duty police officers were out hunting in a remote mountainous area near Ely when they came across a car that had been abandoned about 4 miles from the nearest road. The license plates had been removed, and it looked like someone had gone out of their way to hide the vehicle. And when they called in the VIN, it came back as Tiffany's. How lucky are we that the people hiking are two off-duty police officers who have the capability to just pick up their phone and call on a license plate instead of just like two random hikers who might see the car and be like, oh, somebody's hiking like us, you know? But these are police officers, off-duty, but police officers. So they're like, hey, license plates removed, kind of suspicious, kind of looks like somebody's trying to hide this car. It's raising alarm bells for them, whereas for the average person walking by, they might just be like, oh, whatever, someone's out hiking like we are.
And this is in Ely, Nevada, not Idaho.
This is in Nevada, yes.
So I was wrong. So the car's found in,
at least the car was found in
Nevada.
Yeah, but okay. I mean, Tiffany could be in Idaho, right? And he drove her car back to Nevada, and then he's like, all right, I'm getting closer to Vegas, and I don't want to be driving around this car because they might be looking for this here car. So let me hide it and then start walking and then tell these random people that I'm on a spiritual walk.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, he's trying to spread out the evidence so it doesn't come back to anyone in particular.
And I honestly think that he drove the car as far as he could. And then as he got closer, because, you know, Nevada, Vegas is in Nevada. So now you're in the state and you're kind of like, okay, there could be an APB out. They're definitely looking for her.
Yeah, if I get caught driving her car by myself, not good.
I don't want to be driving this car right now. Yep. So I'm gonna hide it somewhere. So detectives were dispatched to the scene and they began searching the area around the car. They found a few paper items that had come from the vehicle, some from pieces of clothing and a receipt from Walmart in Twin Falls, Idaho, dated October 3rd. But there was no sign of Tiffany or Eduardo. Tiffany's car was towed and later searched, but nothing of note was found. Now, when Tiffany's family found out that her car had been located, everything shifted. Up until that point, there had still been some hope that Tiffany was okay. Maybe a small slice of hope, but it was still there, and now that hope was gone. Tiffany had worked hard for that car, and she was proud of it. She never would have abandoned it. And that's when they knew Tiffany was dead. We're going to take our last break. We'll be right back.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
So the investigation continued and detectives went to that Walmart listed on the receipt in Twin Falls, Idaho, to check the surveillance footage. On the video, Eduardo, who was alone, was seen purchasing what detectives later described as survival gear. And it was not what detectives had hoped to find. On October 10th, detectives obtained and executed a search warrant for Tiffany's condo. One of the first things they noticed was the guest bedroom. There was white powder all over the carpet, like someone had tried to clean something up. And there was a roll of Saran wrap sitting nearby. On the doorframe to that room, they found aspirated blood spatter, later determined to be Tiffany's blood, which told them, obviously, that something traumatic had happened while she was still breathing. In other parts of the condo, they found two more rolls of Saran wrap, and detectives started to wonder if Tiffany had been the victim of blunt force trauma, if someone had used the Saran wrap to try to contain the bleeding and then used carpet cleaner, which would have been that white powder, to try to clean up what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
All of this evidence led detectives to conclude that Tiffany had likely been murdered by Eduardo, but detectives didn't tell the family any of this, and they were left wondering what was going on. It wasn't until later, when detectives were interviewed for In Pursuit with John Walsh, that Tiffany's loved ones found out what had really been discovered inside her home, which is messed up, by the way.
The first time they heard about it was on John's show?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty messed up. Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get that. How did that happen?
I have no excuse.
Like, did the police think that somebody informed them? And because I can't imagine these police officers going on the show knowing that Tiffany's family has not been told this information and then revealing it like that for the first time. I can't imagine. So there must have been a miscommunication, I hope.
It had to have been. I mean, I hope. There's no excuse. There's no excuse, but I'm 100% with you. There's no way they went on the show knowing that Tiffany's family didn't have any clue about any of this information.
I would hope not.
There had to have been a drop in communication where someone assumed that someone else had told them what was going on before the show ever aired. So that's crazy.
I hope you're right. Yeah, I really hope
that's
you're right.
That's a huge fuck up.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad. Could you imagine? Oh,
no. That's a really big deal.
So after the search was over, the condo was wrapped in crime scene tape, but no one was guarding it overnight. And Eduardo, he took advantage of that. He broke in through the back patio window and grabbed what he needed and took off. Okay, so after the police already suspect him of murder, they've already gone in, found evidence of the crime scene, they tape it off. This Eduardo dude breaks in, takes his shit and goes, basically right under the police's nose.
Yeah, he's definitely not that bright. He might be good with computers, but what if there was an officer holding the scene?
I mean, he probably like cased it, made sure that there wasn't.
I mean,
well, after that, detectives had to go back and search the condo again. Meanwhile, Tiffany's family continued doing everything they could to investigate on their own, and they found out that Eduardo actually had a large extended family, and while he did have a sister, he hadn't been living with her when he met Tiffany, and that meant the story he told Tiffany that he had to leave because his sister had tried to kill him, obviously a lie. Tiffany's family started reaching out to people they believed to be Eduardo's relatives, and while some confirmed that they were related to him, they all said the same thing. They hadn't seen him, they didn't know where he was, and they didn't really have much of a relationship with him at all. So as everyone continued trying to find Tiffany, detectives began reviewing Eduardo's bank records, and one transaction immediately stood out. In early September 2020, he had purchased something from a company that makes GPS tracking devices. On October 11th, detectives searched Tiffany's car and found a GPS tracker installed under the vehicle. So this kind of gives credence to the fact that Eduardo put those surveillance cameras in there to monitor Tiffany. Because now he's tracking her, too.
Now, why that is it just because he wants to keep tabs on her to make sure she's not? Because
he's a controlling piece of shit, man.
Yes, it could just be as simple as, like you just said, controlling asshole. Or he's working on something else. He's got some dealings going on where he doesn't want Tiffany to be aware of it. So he wants to know where she is so that she doesn't come home and find something that he's doing behind closed doors.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's honestly a
story.
Could
be both,
we just hear this story way too many times. It's a sign that something is wrong when you have somebody recording you covertly or otherwise, when you've got them tracking you, tracking your car. This is a sign that this is not a good person and they do not have good intentions for you. So Eduardo had obviously removed the license plates on Tiffany's car in an attempt to hide it, but he'd forgotten about that tracker. Detectives requested the GPS data and discovered that on September 30th and October 1st, the tracker had left Tiffany's condo and traveled north to a desert area southwest of Indian Springs, roughly 45 miles from Las Vegas. The GPS showed that the car remained in the desert for several hours before eventually leaving the area. When detectives went to that same location, the GPS coordinates led them straight to Tiffany's body. She had been left just over the edge of a rocky ravine, wrapped in a blanket and some plastic. The ravine was located in an area that had once been a landfill, and although the land had since been sold to a private owner and was no longer an official dump site, locals were still known to use it that way. Tiffany's family would later learn that Eduardo had once lived in Indian Springs, so it made sense that he would know that area and that he would choose it as a place to leave Tiffany.
Yeah, Makes sense. You knew there was going to be a tie back to that location, because how would you travel out there and know that this location would be a prime spot to leave someone? But what an idiot.
But yeah, exactly. Because that's the desert, man. Okay.
Yeah, it's the
middle of nowhere. Always the concern with the desert and the Vegas area and Arizona and New Mexico. There's miles, hundreds and hundreds of miles of desert. If he had not left that tracker there, likely they would never have found
her. Never find her. Nope. Never find her. So yeah, he's an idiot. The GPS, the same thing he was using to track Tiffany, is the same thing that got him caught.
Mm-hmm. So an autopsy determined that Tiffany died from blunt force injuries to the head, which was difficult for her family to hear. They couldn't understand how anyone could hurt Tiffany. She was the most genuinely kind and caring person they had ever known. And the idea that someone had done this to her didn't feel real. Tiffany's cousin Angelina told the media, quote, "I can't fathom for one reason why anyone would want to hurt her. She impacted everyone she knew because she was so kind and accepting, and she made everyone feel like the most important person in the world," end quote. So people like this do target people like Tiffany because of their openness, because of their kindness. And then it's almost as if they start to resent them for those things, that they almost like they feel like, oh, why is this person so good? People like Eduardo wear a mask and they think everybody else is wearing a mask. But when they figure out that you're actually a good and kind and caring person, it's almost like they get mad at you and they don't like you for that, because they are wearing a mask and underneath they're genuinely a bad person. And they are like annoyed that you're not. That's what I've come to see with these kinds of cases. The Abby Petito case, Micah Miller. A lot of these cases, it's kind of the same thing. Now, what Eduardo did to Tiffany's body devastated the family even further. Tiffany's cousin, Angelina, said, quote, "She was dumped out in the desert and thrown away like trash. Disturbing, dehumanizing, just completely erased her humanity," end quote. Now, after Tiffany's body was recovered, one of her and Eduardo's coworkers came forward with information that helped shed light on what may have happened. The coworker said that before Tiffany disappeared, she had confided in him about her relationship with Eduardo, and she said it was becoming increasingly abusive. He called her names, made her feel worthless. Sometimes he shoved her. She told the coworker that things were getting worse as time went on. Then at 4:26 a.m. on September 30th, the coworker received what seemed to be a butt dial from Eduardo's phone. And in the background, he could hear yelling and arguing. Eduardo kept demanding the truth, and his voice grew more aggressive before the call suddenly ended. And the coworker said that the call deeply unsettled him, and afterward, he began to fear for Tiffany's safety. So obviously, it's kind of what we suspected, the tracker, the surveillance. I don't think Eduardo's trying to hide what he's doing necessarily. He's this crazy paranoid person who also is a bad person, and he's projecting that onto Tiffany. He thinks she's doing something, that she can't possibly be this wholesome, sweet Disney princess kind of woman. And so he's following her, making sure, you know, he knows where she is. Maybe he thinks she's meeting up with people or cheating on him, most likely because he was doing that. And this is now he's demanding the truth. He wants the truth, right? What does he want the truth about? What are you doing? Who are you seeing? What's going on?
Yeah. And so I just want to adjust my timeline as well, because when I said it earlier with the camera footage being missing, we got to readjust to now knowing that at 4:26 a.m. on the 30th, Tiffany was alive. So what that tells me is that on the 29th, whatever happened that evening, maybe Tiffany came home late or something. There's something on that
right,
footage.
So it's 4:30 a.m. on September 30th.
30th.
So, exactly. So,
yeah, so
earlier.
So on the 29th.
Maybe they were fighting outside.
Fighting outside, or she comes home and he comes running out. Something happens on footage that's incriminating where he decides to get rid of that footage as well. And then clearly you'd have the 30th where he's prepping, and then 31st when he's loading up the car and taking off. So yeah, that's your timeline. I think that's it right there. And you have a motive as well. And it would explain the cameras. He wasn't doing something in the house that he was concerned about her finding. As you had suggested, he was concerned that she was out there cheating on him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Tiffany's family told us, from what they've been able to piece together, the argument may have been about a message Tiffany received from an ex-boyfriend. The ex-boyfriend had reached out either by phone or text, and Eduardo, who was insanely jealous, didn't want Tiffany speaking to other men. And her family believes that's why Eduardo installed the GPS tracker on her car prior to her murder. He wanted to monitor where she was going and who she might be seeing. And based on everything detectives in the family have pieced together, they believe that in the early morning hours of September 30th, Eduardo and Tiffany got into a heated argument about her past relationship, and at some point during that fight, Eduardo killed her. After that, he hid Tiffany's body in the ravine, drove to Idaho, then made his way back to Ely. He then abandoned Tiffany's car in the desert, showing up at Angelina's friend's neighbor's house, and eventually got a ride to Henderson, Nevada, where he claimed he was being dropped off at the hospital his cousin worked at. Then at some point after that, he broke back into the condo he had shared with Tiffany before disappearing again. And a lot has to go right here for us to even know this much, right? He has to leave the tracker behind. He has to, you know, Angelina happened to know somebody in Ely who he happened to show up at their house not knowing that there was any connection. And so they got that timeline there. You know, he has to show up at the the butt dial to the coworker. Now we know there was an argument. Eduardo comes back, breaks into the condo. No cops are there to guard it or he would have been arrested. A lot has to happen for him to slip away and become anonymous like this again.
Yeah, a lot of, they call it like a game of inches where if it just went one way or the other, we could have a different outcome. But I always say if criminals were smart, we wouldn't catch them. There's a lot of reasons that we know as much as we know today, and most of them are because of Eduardo. So we have that going for us. And then like you had alluded to, there's some luck involved where he's in the back of that yard or whatever, and the neighbor takes the
photo. Happens
to
be somebody that knows Angelina, which is crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you don't have that, you'd have everything else. You'd have everything else. So this case has been wrapped up in a bow. It's very clear what happened. And law enforcement just had to put the pieces together. They got the entire puzzle. They just had to sit down and build it.
How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. Most cars on the road could use a little bit of love. And keep in mind, with Americans keeping their vehicles longer, protecting your investment has never been more important. At Maaco, they make it really easy. You come in, free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Don't let those little imperfections add up. You want to keep your car on the road. You want to give it a little bit of love. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will take care of everything after that. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at washablesofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out. So you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics. They're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Well, on October 28th, authorities publicly named Eduardo as a suspect in Tiffany's murder. They issued an arrest warrant for murder, vehicle theft, and multiple felony counts of using a bank card without the cardholder's consent. Authorities continued searching for him, but Eduardo was nowhere to be found. 3 weeks later, they held a press conference to update the public on the search. They said Eduardo was still on the run and could be hiding somewhere in the mountains, and they urged people living in remote areas to stay alert. One official said, quote, "We do not know where he is, but I want to draw special attention to anyone who lives in any remote areas, specifically in northwestern Nevada, near the Ruby Mountains, near Ely, Nevada, and also into Idaho," end quote. Judy, who's Tiffany's mother, also spoke at the press conference, and through tears, she begged Eduardo to come forward, saying, quote, "Please, please come forward and turn yourself in, as my family and your family need closure," end quote. Eduardo does not care. He is a bad person.
He's not coming forward.
He's not coming forward. He's going to evade any accountability or responsibility for this at all costs, Brian Laundry style. So with Eduardo on the run, the FBI was brought in to help track him down. But his background in IT made it easier for him to cover his digital tracks, and authorities began to suspect he may have altered his appearance to avoid being recognized. They learned that while he was dating Tiffany, Eduardo had lost more than 100 pounds by fasting and working out. His driver's license listed his weight as 375 pounds, but by October 2020, he was closer to 275, which told them he was capable of changing his appearance quickly. The search for Eduardo continued. At one point, Tiffany's Nintendo Switch was powered on, and Eduardo used it to order food through Grubhub from a hotel in Las Vegas. What a douche. But by the time authorities figured it out, he was already gone. They continued investigating and later learned that while on the run, he would seek help from strangers, churches, and local communities, most likely doing the same thing that he did to Tiffany, telling a sob story, you know, getting the tears in his eyes, making people feel bad for him. He would do whatever he could to survive and stay hidden. So in the spring of 2022, Eduardo was still missing when Tiffany's family started planning to hold a celebration of life to honor her memory. But just before the memorial, something unsettling happened. Tiffany's Facebook account was suddenly and completely deleted. No one in the family had done it, and neither had the police. And this obviously led them to theorize that Eduardo had been the one to delete it. And this was a frustrating reminder that he was still out there somewhere. But it was also heartbreaking because when the account disappeared, all of Tiffany's photos and private messages were lost. And that meant her family could no longer go back and read the conversations they'd had with her or revisit old messages that reminded them of her voice and her love. I think it would also be a really frustrating and angering, maddening thing that even though he killed her, he still has this control where he's still using her devices. He still, you know, has access to her private information and her electronics. And he's almost being like, kind of taunting with these things.
There might be some gratification there, you know, Rex Hurlman style for sure. You know, I do wonder, not to blame anybody here, but knowing that he had access to all this stuff, why, you know, why wouldn't you go in there and change those passwords?
Well, they probably didn't know the original. You have to know the original password or have the device or have the backup device for the OTP.
Yeah,
do you know how hard it is to
do the authentication?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And
yeah.
He's got all that
getting
stuff.
A hold of Meta to do it for you is like pulling teeth.
I mean, at this point, if he's got the Switch, I feel like there has to be some way when he connects to Wi-Fi with it that Meta would be able to, you know, like alert the authorities. You got the FBI involved in this. Like, what is happening right now? This guy's just running around taunting everybody.
The unfortunate thing, obviously, I love transparency. I love hearing about it. But this is one of those cases where little details like this, I would prefer them not to be public, if I'm being honest with you. I would prefer the fact that they were able to track him through the Switch with the Grubhub in what, 2022, you said? Or that was when the Facebook was deleted? I would prefer that not to happen. That might have been 2020, by the way, because it was around the same time. But either way, it's only been 4.5 years. So now, if he's paying attention to the news or he's listening to a podcast or anything, he now knows some of the techniques that law enforcement is using to keep tabs on him, and he's obviously not going to use that going forward. So this is the one area where I'd push back, where I'm usually on the other side saying, hey, it's been 20 years, release what you have. This is a very active case, and he's still out there making mistakes. So if he starts to use an electronic device and you're able to track them, maybe not release that information to the public. Just saying.
Maybe they're not. Maybe they tried to track him with those electronic devices and realized they couldn't.
Yeah, anymore. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? Like, some of these things, you don't have a ton of stuff. Keep it in-house. Keep it in-house. You can tell the story of how you caught Eduardo after the fact, but you got to catch him first.
Well, maybe like the John Walsh thing, they thought they kept that to themselves, but yeah, they actually didn't.
that whole thing is troubling to me. I'd love to know more of that, because the other thing about the John Walsh thing is usually law enforcement at minimum would reach out to the family and say, hey, are you okay? You know, we're going to do this. Are you okay with it? Just to make sure they're on board.
I mean, they probably did, but they probably didn't tell them like, hey, we're going to reveal stuff that you don't know, so be prepared.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe details about, I could see that happening where they knew Eduardo was a suspect, but the details about the crime scene, nobody had conveyed that information to them, which could have been somebody who gets caught up in the interview with John or Callahan and starts spouting off at the mouth. There may have been something where law enforcement supervisors in that department were like, why the fuck would you reveal that?
I have to believe, and you know, I'm not the person who's going to just immediately jump to the defense of law enforcement. I'm not. Like, I try to
be.
No,
you are not.
I try to be like, you know, I try to call it out where I see it. I have to believe this was a mistake. I have to believe that the cops who went on that show were under the impression that her family already knew. Otherwise,
Absolutely. It's
just, otherwise, like, somebody should have lost their job in that situation. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and clearly, I don't know, like, editorially, like, I don't think law enforcement has control over the final edit of the show.
Probably not.
But if they did, you would think they would have seen that and said, hey, did we tell Judy and Steve, did we tell these guys yet that this happened? So yeah, I'm in a complete agreement with you. I think somebody dropped the ball, and somebody definitely got in trouble after this came out that they didn't know this information.
Well, in June of 2022, Tiffany's family finally held their celebration of life as planned. They shared videos of Tiffany dancing and rescuing birds, and they told stories about who she was and how she had lived. And Judy spoke about how she thinks of her daughter every single day, and she remembered the times they went to concerts together and played bingo, and how much joy Tiffany brought to every moment that they shared. When everyone left that day, it was clear that Tiffany was still deeply missed by all who knew her, and she would be forever. Before the year was over, detectives sat down with In Pursuit with John Walsh and, for the first time, like we said, revealed that when they searched Tiffany's condo after recovering her car, they found evidence that she had been murdered. When the family watched the episode, they were devastated because that was how they learned the truth. And it was deeply hurtful to find out that way on television with the rest of the world rather than hearing it directly from detectives. Now, during that interview, detectives also said they believe Eduardo is likely still in the Western United States where he has personal connections. They specifically named Nevada, Idaho, and Montana, but they said he could be living anywhere. They said he is dangerous and willing to do anything to stay free. Still, they believe that all it will take is one breadcrumb, one piece of information they can follow, and once they have that, they believe they can find Eduardo and finally hold him accountable for what he did to Tiffany and the people who loved her. And as of this recording, authorities are still searching for Eduardo. And Tiffany's family is desperate to find him. Like, they have not let up at all. And I completely understand why, because the dude's out there. He's ready. He must have connections somewhere. He is definitely not surviving on his own completely. He has to be seeing people. He has to be, you know, getting help from people. So it's just going to take one tip, one person to say, I saw him here at this time, et cetera, to break this case. And Tiffany's cousin Angelina told us it's been nearly 5 years since Tiffany was murdered, and they need Eduardo to face the consequences for what he did. They need to stop looking over their shoulders, and they need to make sure he never has the chance to hurt another innocent person. So right now, if you're listening on podcast platforms and not watching on YouTube, I want you to Google Eduardo Clemente, it's Clemente, and see what he looks like. and keep that image, especially if you're in these areas that law enforcement have talked about, because you might see him. He might come rolling up on your lawn saying he's on a spiritual walk, and you could break this case. And anyone with information is asked to contact Crime Stoppers at 702-385-5555 or submit a tip online at crimestoppersofnv.com. Crime Stoppers is offering a $10,000 reward, and the FBI has added an additional $10,000, bringing the total to $20,000 for information leading to Eduardo's arrest. And you can help by sharing Tiffany's story. You can look up and share Eduardo's wanted poster. You can follow the family's Facebook page. Help find justice for Tiffany Booth. They also have a GoFundMe, which they are using to put up billboards with Eduardo's information on them. In the description box of YouTube and in our listener notes, all of these links will be there so that you can easily access the wanted poster, the Facebook page, and the GoFundMe. This is a very, very, very important case, because while Tiffany is gone and we cannot bring her back, we can bring her killer to justice. We can bring him to, you know, the police. And hopefully this is something where we can help here. People can keep an eye out. If you see something, say something. We've given you, you know, places that you can contact Crime Stoppers. And we really just want everybody to keep an eye out, because we can do something here. We can actually help this family.
Yeah, it looks like Eduardo met Tiffany at work, saw that she was a trusting person who saw the best in everyone, maybe a little impressionable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Eduardo took advantage of that. He integrated himself into her life and then into her apartment, and then took over the apartment. And unfortunately, Tiffany just didn't feel like she could go to her mom at that time and inform her of that information, because if she had, maybe we wouldn't be here right now. But fortunately, she did confide in a coworker, which ultimately leads to an MO, and we get all this information. But if I had to guess, looking forward and trying to capture Eduardo and hold him responsible for what he did to Tiffany, a zebra doesn't change its stripes. So more than likely, he's in a smaller community. He's probably latched on to someone who is as impressionable as Tiffany was, who maybe doesn't have a lot of friends and family, where he can kind of integrate them himself and become that person's world, keep tabs on them. And if you're from that community that that Eduardo's staying in, I would look for someone who's lost a ton of weight, probably grew out their hair, probably grew out some facial hair. Look for someone who is pretty savvy with tech, maybe working in the IT field. Someone who
I think he's off the map. I don't think he's anywhere in like the public. Yeah,
he's around someone, and so this case has got to get more attention. And by doing so, if you're looking for this person, like Stephanie said, look up their photo. But then I would almost like to see law enforcement, the FBI, show some computer-generated photos of him being lighter with a beard, some different looks, because...
You mean lighter weight-wise?
Lighter weight-wise, exactly. Like maybe, you know, another, maybe down to 220, something like that. Maybe a little bit lighter in the face. And that way, with a beard, he's going to look completely different. But make sure you're watching their behavior. Someone, again, who's going to be gravitating towards technology, who may be working in IT or something that's not so much front-facing where he'd be seen by a lot of people. Someone who has an ability to maybe be charismatic and appealing at first, but does show signs of being jealous or maybe a little erratic or angry at certain points. Maybe they lash out when you didn't expect them to. And more than likely, this person is going to be someone who integrated into your community shortly after 2020. So if you're thinking of someone who may fit this description, ask yourself, when did they pop up? If they've been there since 2017, more than likely it's not them. But if it comes to fruition that they came into your life or the life of your community around 2020, 2021, or even after that, there may be something there. So when in doubt, try to capture a photo, get the name and information, pass it along to law enforcement. Worst case scenario, it turns out not to be him, but you can remain anonymous. But you want to report that information if you have it. That's the only way we're going to find him.
Yeah, I think he's off the grid, and I think law enforcement kind of feels that way as well. But like I said, he can't stay out there forever. He's got to come into, even if it's small towns kind of bordering the desert area or some wilderness area, he's got to come in every so often, get new supplies. Like the police said, he's searching for help from church groups and, you know, things like that. People who have big hearts, he's going to target.
Yeah.
And if he's killed already and gotten away with it, there's no telling what now he's capable of doing, okay, especially the longer that he's on the loose. So we've really got to be vigilant with this one.
Agreed. Everybody, just keep your eye out. If you see something, say something. You have all the information. Like Stephanie said, it's in the show notes. I do want to apologize again. My voice is horrible this episode. So thank you, Stephanie, for picking up the slack like you normally
you
do.
Did great.
My hero. My hero.
You did great.
I tried. Thank you for the positive affirmation. That's going to do it for this episode. It was a one-parter. We normally don't do it.
Very important, though.
But yeah. It was very important, and we want to thank Tiffany's family for entrusting us to tell Tiffany's story and working with us on the development of this episode. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week. Until then, everyone stay safe out there. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabe sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slip covers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.